can we put this on a chair or something like that so I have some room?
I'll put it on the chair?
Yeah.
Okay, please some sort of that.
Perfect. Perfect. Whoop. No problem. Perfect. Okay, I'm very glad to be with you tonight. I was here 8 years ago. I've been wanting to come back ever since. Thanks to Savan and Phiep for driving me all over Cambodia. You can ask Savan later what I mean when I say that we flew to Siem Reap. He'll tell you what that's about, okay? So I was asked to speak tonight about the Holy Spirit. This is one of my favorite topics. To start with, let me ask a few questions just to get you thinking. Good. So, who or what is the Holy Spirit? If somebody were to ask you, what would be your answer? More importantly, what is the Holy Spirit's role in our life? Here's another question. What book in the Bible teaches us the most about the Holy Spirit? Who could answer that question? The book of Acts, that's the correct answer. Some people call the book of Acts the Acts of the Apostles. I think it'd be more appropriate to call the Acts of the Holy Spirit. At every point in the book of Acts, Luke talks about how the Holy Spirit was working. But let's start in John chapter 16. We'll read verse 5 through 7. John 16, 5 through 7. So Jesus tells them, I'm going to go away. And the apostles and the other disciples, they were very discouraged to know that. But Jesus says, it's good that I'm going away. They must have thought, how could it possibly be good for Jesus to go away? He says, the reason it's good for me to go away is then I'll send the Holy Spirit. You know, it'd be pretty nice to have Jesus kind of walking around in the fellowship. You could see his example. I'm sure that would encourage you. You need some advice, you could ask him. That'd be pretty awesome, yeah? But according to Jesus, it's better to have the Holy Spirit living in us, to have Jesus walking around amongst us. Do you see it that way? Maybe not. Maybe you don't understand the role of the Holy Spirit. Jesus said to John the Baptist, about John the Baptist, no one greater than John the Baptist has ever come before. But he said, anyone in the kingdom of God is greater than John the Baptist. You say, I'm greater than John the Baptist? That's pretty good. Why? Because we have the Holy Spirit living in us. John the Baptist didn't. Let's just do a little checking. How often do you think about the Holy Spirit? Do you pray to the Holy Spirit? You mean we can pray to the Spirit? Aren't we supposed to pray to the Father? Yeah. But maybe you could pray to the Holy Spirit. Here's an interesting question. Do you recognize, do you feel the Holy Spirit working in your life? Now let me tell you, I don't like saying that sometimes. Because I'm a scientist. And I like everything to be logical. Like you could apply a formula to it. But the way the Spirit works in our life is not like that. It's not logical. It's not something you can predict. So I'm going to have several points about how the Holy Spirit works in our life. But before, I want to give a little bit of background. A little bit of history. I assume you know we come from the churches of Christ. We're the international church of Christ, yes? But we come from the church of Christ. Its history goes back to the 1800s. In the United States, there was a Back to the Bible movement. The most influential man in this movement was a man named Alexander Campbell. How many of you have heard of him before? Well, that's interesting. He started the church movement that we're part of. And only two of you ever heard of him. That's interesting. It's okay. It doesn't really matter, I guess. But Alexander Campbell was a very famous intellectual. He was an educator. He founded a number of colleges. And in many ways, he revolutionized and improved how we study the scriptures. One weakness, though, of Alexander Campbell is that he tended to approach the Bible almost like science. Very intellectual. And he recognized almost no role for the Holy Spirit in our lives. And he said the only important role of the Holy Spirit was to inspire the Bible itself. So the history of the Church of Christ was to downplay the importance of the Holy Spirit. I don't say that to be critical, I'm just describing the facts, okay? Then in America, we had the Pentecostal movement. Starting in the year 1901. People started rolling around on the floor and speaking in tongues, blah, 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 blah. Claiming to have all kinds of experience and gifts of the Holy Spirit that we believe is probably not even true. So the result was the churches of Christ shifted even more away from talking about the Holy Spirit. We would read Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, which explains why they had the gifts but we don't. We would read 1 Corinthians 13, verse 8, that talked about prophecy ceasing. Or Zechariah 13, 1 through 6, that also talks about prophecy ceasing and after the time of Jesus. That's all true. But let me give you general advice in your Christian life. Never let what you do be a reaction against somebody else. Just because you see something doing something wrong, don't go in the opposite direction. So we don't talk about the Holy Spirit very much. It's very sad. Because we're going to see the Holy Spirit plays a great part in our life. So for many years, whenever I was asked to speak about the Holy Spirit, they would ask me to tell what He doesn't do. I don't want to tell what the Holy Spirit doesn't do. I want to tell you what the Holy Spirit does do. So that's what we're going to do. Okay? So none of that negative stuff. If you have questions later on about why we don't speak in tongues, talk to me. So we have a nine-part outline. Better get moving fast. Point number one. He lives in us. Think about it. If you're a disciple of Jesus, baptized into Christ, you're a temple. In Cambodia, I see many, many temples. But God doesn't live in those temples. God lives in us. The creator of the entire universe. He lives in you. Let's read John 14, verse 17. Let's read verse 16 and 17 to get the context. So Jesus said to the apostles, the Holy Spirit is with you. That's pretty good. But he says later on, he will be inside of you. You'll be a temple. Yeah, that's pretty good. But it could almost be a little creepy in a way. I don't know how to say that. feel a little strange. Because let's say you're looking at pornography. That means the Holy Spirit is looking at pornography. Everything you see, the Holy Spirit is also seeing. It'd be kind of like this. You're on a date. And your mother is in the back seat. I guess that could be good. I mean, if you're pure, I guess it's okay. But he witnesses everything we do, and he even experiences it. Acts chapter 5, verses 1 through 4. We know the story, so I'll just tell you the story rather than read it. It's the story of Ananias and Sapphira. They sold some land. They gave part of the money to the church. And they kept part of the money in their pocket. And when they get confronted, in verse 4 he says, how could you lie to the Holy Spirit? When you lie to your friend, you're lying to the Holy Spirit. If you cheat on a test, the Holy Spirit is involved in that and experiences that. Let's read Acts chapter 5, verse 29 through
32. រីឯព្រះនៃពួកអាយកោយើងរាល់គ្នាទ្រង់បានប្រោះព្រះយេស៊ូវដែលលោករត់គ្នាបានសម្លាប់ដោយព្យួរនៅជាប់លើឈើតែទ្រង់មានព្រះជន្មរស់ឡើងវិញហើយព្រះបានតម្កើងទ្រង់ឡើងដោយសារព្រះហស្តតាំងធ្វើឲ្យជាព្រះអង្គចាស់និងជាព្រះអង្គសង្គ្រោះដើម្បីនឹងប្រោះប្រទានឲ្យប្រជាជាតិដល់សាសន៍អ៊ីស្រាអែលប្រយោជន៍ឲ្យបានរួចពីបាប
So it says here, Peter says, hey, we have to obey God rather than man. And he preaches the gospel. He tells them to repent. And he says, we are witnesses of these things. And so is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit witnesses everything we do. The creator of the universe, the force that holds the entire universe together, lives inside of us. The privilege is beyond comprehension, don't you think? We have instant access, instantaneous access to God. That's pretty amazing. But it's bad in a way, if you think about it. Because God is intimately aware of everything we do. Sometimes we feel like nobody knows. I think if we're more aware of the Holy Spirit, we'll overcome sin. Point number two. You know, the Holy Spirit is about power. No question about it. I'm going to talk about that power. But the principal role of the Holy Spirit is a relationship. It's about God having a relationship with us, the closest imaginable relationship. John talked about this, excuse me, Jesus talked about this in John chapter 14, 16 through 18. It says, because the Holy Spirit's going to come, you'll no longer be orphans. All of us have a hole in our soul. That can only be filled by God. And when the Holy Spirit lives in us, He comforts us. He counsels us. Jesus did not abandon His disciples, far from it. He says, you won't see me anymore. Not physically. But you will see me because I will live in you. Philippians chapter 2, verse 1. We're going to read a lot of scriptures tonight. All right. Philippians 2, verse
1.
Just verse 1. All right, do you have any encouragement from being in Christ? In Christ, yeah. Do you have any encouragement from being in Christ? Do you have any comfort from His love? Do you have fellowship with the Holy Spirit? I think that's the part we miss. We don't even acknowledge the Holy Spirit. It'd be like a husband and a wife. And the wife walks into the room. Husband doesn't even notice she's there. They're sleeping together. I guess there's somebody on the other side of the bed. I don't know. That's not a marriage. A marriage is fellowship. It's communication. Let's take advantage of the fellowship we have with the Holy Spirit. Paul also mentions that in 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. Second Corinthians chapter 3, verse 13. But we don't have time. In America, they have this poster that people hang on their wall. They call it footsteps. It's kind of corny. I don't know. I don't know if the word corny is. Never mind. You can't translate that word. But there's two set of footprints. And then trouble comes into his life. And there's just one set of footprints. And they say, oh, Jesus abandoned you when you were having trouble. And they say, no, he was carrying you. He's not just carrying you. He's living in you. The most intimate possible relationship. Point number three. He lives in us. But we can be more filled with the Spirit. Or less filled with the Spirit. Now, which would you rather have? I think this is a pretty easy question. More filled with the Spirit? Or less filled with the Spirit? I'd rather be more filled with the Spirit. Unless I want to sin. Then I almost wish the Holy Spirit would go away, you know? Alright, Acts chapter 6, verse 2 through 3. So they had an important job. Maybe not the most, famous job. Was taking care of the widows. And they tried to decide who should do it. Maybe they could have picked the most talented person. Maybe they could have picked, the one that has the strongest voice or something, I don't know. But instead, they chose the ones that were the most full of the Holy Spirit. as you become mature in Christ, you can tell when somebody's full of the Holy Spirit. How would you know somebody was more full of the Holy Spirit? Just think about that. How would you know? Well, need to finish this outline, it'll tell you. Let me make a few suggestions. They find themselves praying at any moment. They have deep convictions. They think about other people instead of themselves. I don't know about you, but I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. And my suggestion to the leaders in the church here, when you're appointing people in the church, don't base it on talent. Base it on those who are more filled with the Holy Spirit. Now, let's go to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 16 through 19. Now, I don't know how this is translated into Khmer. In my English translation, it says, "Don't put out the fire of the Spirit." All right, so it says the same thing. Okay, good. The Greek is hard to translate, actually. So we could quench the Spirit. Quench, put out the fire. Well, how would you put out the Spirit's fire? I'm going to use a marriage as an example again. The wife says to her husband, "Would you do this for me?" He ignores her. She says, "Would you do this for me?" He ignores her. Eventually, she doesn't even bother to ask. She does it herself. The Holy Spirit speaks to us. That's going to be my next point. He talks to us. I'm not saying it's like some voice that you hear. In fact, to be honest with you, I can't even explain how the Holy Spirit speaks to us. But the Holy Spirit says, "Go share with that person." And then you don't share with that person. The Holy Spirit tells you that person needs encouragement. And you do nothing about it. Next time the Holy Spirit, he doesn't even bother. If you don't listen to the Holy Spirit, you're quenching the Spirit. Now, the most obvious way we would put out the Spirit's fire is by sinning. And having a dirty temple for the Holy Spirit to live in. But that brings me to point number four. This is the one I'm nervous about. But it's in the Bible, so I think I better teach it, you know? The Holy Spirit will speak to us and will influence us. The reason that makes me nervous is because you can't know for sure. Again, it's not like a formula. And sometimes my Pentecostal friends say, says, God told me to do this. And I say, there is no way the Holy Spirit told you to do that, you know? I've heard it used in ways that I'm like, no way, man. Deceived, you know? You've seen this. Many of you have seen that. Maybe your charismatic friends, yes? But as a scientist, I'm just skeptical anyway. You know what I'm saying? But it's in the Bible. And I believe it. And in this case, I need to stop being so skeptical. So let's look at some examples. Acts chapter 8, verse 29 through 31. So the Holy Spirit said to Philip, go share with that guy. Now let's think about it. What do you think actually happened? Do you think a piece of paper fell out of the sky? Go share with that guy? I don't think so. Do you think he heard a voice out of the sky? I don't think so. So what happened? Just Philip knew. He just knew in his heart, I'd ask share with that guy. So how do you know it's the Holy Spirit speaking? If you think the Holy Spirit told you to go into that bar, I don't think so. If you think the Holy Spirit told you, don't forgive that person, make them pay for what they did, I tell you right now, that's not the Holy Spirit talking. Because what kind of things do you think the Holy Spirit is going to tell you to do? Share with that guy? Yeah, I think so. Well, what if you think it was the Holy Spirit and it wasn't? How do you know? You know, I decided I'm not going to worry about that anymore. Maybe I just had indigestion that day or something like that. I don't know. Indigestion? Your stomach's kind of upset or something. I don't know. Because the Holy Spirit prompts us to be more humble. Suddenly you realize, I need to confess that sin. I bet that's from the Holy Spirit. Suddenly you realize, you know, I haven't been sacrificing. I need to give more to the church. You know, I think that might be from the Holy Spirit. You know, the Holy Spirit, Jesus says, it's like the wind.